The prophecy about Tyre in Ezekiel 26 and 27 seems to have not come true completely in this life, and therefore I suggest that there was some amelioration of the judgment because of the repentance of a few people. And of course, God's sensitivity to humanity is such that he does recalculate his purpose, he does reapply and reinterpret and reschedule his prophecies. And when you look at a number of these statements here about Tyre, you see that they are in fact reapplied to latter-day Babylon. Revelation 18, talking about latter-day Babylon, is full of allusion to these prophecies about Tyre. Take verse 27, all their riches, their merchandise, their sailors, their pilots shall fall into the heart of the seas in the day of your ruin. This is very much what happened, or what was to happen with latter-day Babylon. But it certainly did not happen to Tyre at the hand of Babylon as originally intended in Ezekiel 26. It specifically says that Babylon is going to do all this to Tyre, and they didn't. That prophecy was rescheduled and reapplied, clearly, to Alexander the Great and the Greeks. But even they did not completely do this to Tyre, because Tyre was rebuilt, has been rebuilt a number of times over the years. And so, again, you come to verse 29, that all her sailors will come down from their ships and stand on the land and mourn over her. You get this in Revelation 18, 17. Babylon's supporters, her sailors, will stand and mourn over her. They will lament her. So clearly, again, this prophecy is being reapplied to the last days, latter-day Babylon. Again, verse 30, they shall cause their voice to be heard and shall cry bitterly, cast dust on their heads and wallow in ashes. This is the language of Revelation 18, 8 to 10, about the mourning over Babylon, casting dust on their heads, Revelation 18, verse 19, etc. And as I say, as you go through all these verses, this is latter-day Babylon. Verse 32, Tyre is to be thrown into the midst of the seas, and they'll be wailing over her. Well, again, this is latter-day Babylon. And the list of Babylon's merchandise in Revelation 18 is pretty similar to what you've got here. Now, why then was there this change of direction, as it were? Why was there this not judging of Tyre completely as God had intended or threatened initially? Well, you think of what he said about Nineveh, that in 40 days Nineveh would be destroyed, no terms and conditions attached, just a bald statement. But in fact they repented and God did change, and in 40 days Nineveh was not destroyed. And you know, he says this in Jeremiah, that if I say something about a nation or an individual and they repent, well then I won't do it. But I think it's more than that. I think that he also does reapply judgments, he does ameliorate judgment, because repentance is on a sliding scale. I mean, did every single person in Nineveh repent? I don't suppose every single human being did. And how deep was that repentance? Was it the same for every person in the city? Well, I don't suppose it was. But for whatever reason, God judged overall that it was enough to totally ameliorate the judgment. You think of what he said he would do with Sodom, that if there were 10 righteous people in the city, he would have saved it. The judgment would have been ameliorated. So you see how sensitive he is to human repentance. And so you ask, well, was there some repentance in Tyre? Well, I want to share with you a little theory, which is admittedly a theory. And it's to do with Jonah, who, as you know, sailed in a ship of Tarshish, or a ship of Tyre. And that ship ran into difficulties, into a huge storm that it got stuck in. Well, We read then that all the wares, the merchandise that was in the boat had to be thrown overboard, just as you read here, because in this parable, as it were, in this poem, Tyre is likened to a ship in the sea that loses its merchandise and then capsizes. And verse 34, in the time that you were broken by the seas, in the depths of the waters. Well, that is exactly what happened to the boat that Jonah was on, broken by the seas, and he was thrown into the depths of the waters. And they had to throw their merchandise that they were loaded with into the sea. It talks in verse 27 about, you shall fall into the heart of the seas in the day of your ruin. This again is the language of Jonah. And when we read about the captain of the boat in Jonah, it's the same word that is used here about the mariners or the captains of the boats of Tyre. So what is the idea? I think the idea is that perhaps the men of Tarshish with whom Jonah was sailing repented. I mean, it was, after all, an amazing thing that happened. He told them that he was a servant of Yahweh, and we're told that afterwards, when they were saved, they sacrificed to Yahweh and made vows to Yahweh. Those merchants of Tarshish, if you like, repented and came to the God of Israel. All through the pig-headedness of Jonah and all through his sin, as a result of that, God worked through that, saved Jonah, saved the sailors, and brought them to the God of Jonah, the God of Israel, Yahweh. I just wonder whether because of that, there was an amelioration of the judgments that were intended upon Tyre, because quite clearly, the whole idea of Tyre never being rebuilt, being desolate forever, everybody in the city being killed, the stuff that you read in Ezekiel 26 and 27, this clearly didn't happen. This did not happen even at the hand of the Greeks under Alexander. This didn't happen. And, well, Tyre was rebuilt. And then you have Isaiah 23, this idea that Tyre would be forgotten 70 years, just as Judah would be forgotten in exile for 70 years, and then she would repent and be revived and give her merchandise to Yahweh. Well, that didn't really happen in the same way as it didn't really happen for the exiles. They didn't really repent, and so they weren't fully revived. But it would be true to say that there was therefore the divine intention and possibility that they would repent, that Tyre would repent. And, well, perhaps some did. Maybe not enough to totally avert destruction, but maybe some did. And therefore, there was judgment at the hand of Babylon and the hand of certainly Alexander of Macedon against Tyre, no doubt about that. But the prophecies of her destruction are, as I've tried to explain, are all reapplied and reinterpreted and rescheduled to the latter-day Babylon in Revelation 18. And you see this kind of thing going on in your own life. I've talked about this in more detail in my little comment on Ezekiel 26, but I'll just repeat it, that you can't attach meaning to event, but it's quite clear that God has certain plans for us, you know, good works that we should do from the foundation of the world, Ephesians 2 says. And we may not live up to that. We may fail. And that doesn't mean he's through with us. It means that he reschedules and reworks his plan. He recalculates our position and his position with us. But he keeps on driving. He keeps on moving with us. And, of course, that is how we should deal with other people as far as we can. Never just give up with somebody, but always just seek to recalculate the position and move onwards, because that's how he does with us. And that, I suppose, is why these things are difficult to understand when you look at the hand of God in history and when you look likewise at your own history, at your own biography. It is difficult to perceive the exact meaning of event and why events took this turn or that turn. Well, yeah, it is hard, but in all of it, you see God's hand. As Jesus said, this is the way of the Spirit, that It is like the wind, that you cannot see it, and you do not know exactly from where it came nor to where it's going in the short term, but you feel the effect without question at this particular moment in time.